I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. These are dangerous words. Some people come to the light. They seek the truth. They pursue goodness and virtue and love. Other people, sometimes the smartest of people, have become wicked. They reject the light. They reject the truth. They live for power and pleasure and wealth. And that same question is addressed to us. Do you love the light? Do you want the truth? Do you want to live in goodness and virtue and love? Or have you set your sights only on power and wealth and pleasure? Those are big challenges. There's a lot of things in the world that are appealing to us. And sometimes people make compromises in order to get their power and their wealth and their pleasure. Now, Jesus cured this man who was blind from birth. It's something absolutely unheard of. In the Jewish culture, it was thought that God would never make a person blind because if you're blind, you could not read the Torah, so you could not be saved. That's why the disciples asked Jesus, was he born blind because of his sin or because of his parents? Because God would not have done that. Well, Jesus challenges their thinking, and he says, neither. It was so that God's works might show forth in him. And Jesus spat on the ground, made mud with his saliva, and smeared the man's eyes, and he says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. So Jesus gave a command. The man offered the obedience of faith, and then he received his sight. Again, when you follow Jesus, good things happen. When you follow the obedience of faith, you're on the right track. Now, the Pharisees were some of the best and the brightest. They were learned and they were powerful. And so watch out for the idea that because somebody is smart, that they must be right. We cater to that. We think of that. We see very bright people on the news. That doesn't make them right. Sometimes some of the smartest people can actually be some of the most corrupt. In fact, the most brilliant of all the angels was Lucifer, most brilliant intellect of all. And was wicked, a liar and a murderer from the start. So watch out for the notion that somebody's smart, they must be right. That's a mistake that we easily fall into. But these Pharisees were some of the best and the brightest. They claimed to be upset that Jesus was healing on the Sabbath. More likely, they were upset because the crowds were following Jesus and not them. So they challenged the man. This man cannot be from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. Well, the Pharisees summoned the man born blind and said, give glory to God, which means tell us what we want to hear. That's really what they're saying here. And they said, first of all, we know this man's a sinner. And he says, I do not know whether he's a sinner or not. I know this much. I was blind before and now I see. And they finally throw him out of the synagogue bodily. And Jesus finds him later and says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? You have seen him. He is speaking with you now. I do believe, Lord. And he bowed to the ground in worship. So the question is, who's blind in this passage? Is it the man born blind, or is it the scribes and the Pharisees? Obviously, spiritually, they're the ones who are blind. If you were physically blind, there would be no sin, but we see, you say, and your sin remains. Now, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Those are powerful words. Dig into those just a little bit. When he says, I am the way, it's a way of humility, of self-abnegation, humbling oneself, becoming a servant to others. And that's not the way of the world. The way of the world is to have more. I want more money, more power, more pleasure. I want more. So Jesus' way is very different than the way of the world. He goes on from there and he describes again, I'm the truth. Well, the truth is the way things really are, that there is a God above. He did create all things. You and I are made in his image. We're baked into us with a compass that shows right and wrong. We can know it's wrong to lie. We can know it's wrong to steal. We can know it's wrong for all of those sins of the Ten Commandments. They're baked into us by nature. We call it the natural law. That's the truth of the way things are. But we start to obfuscate. We start to make compromises when you say, well, this is my truth. And we justify a sin, a lifestyle, because this is my truth and that's your truth. No, there's only one truth. And we all stand before that one who is the truth. We'll all be judged in the end by that truth. So watch out for my truth and your truth. There's only one truth. And he's the one who is the life. He's ultimately the resurrection. He gives us that new life by grace. Anything less than that is not true life. St. Teresa, the Little Flower, she says, call nothing life which must come to an end. Even this bodily life which comes to an end isn't the true life. That's the life of grace and the life of heaven that, that is ours now in seed form and will be ours eventually in eternity. So when Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, dig into that. Ponder that sometime. What does that really mean? Because it's very different than what the world means by some of those same words. And if we start to compromise on the way, the truth, and the life, we've actually rejected Christ. We've actually lost our spiritual way. And these scribes and the Pharisees, they'd been rejecting him already by their pride and arrogance and by unrepented sins. Now, that's a place we should consider, especially since it's Lent, but in our whole world today, sin causes spiritual blindness. And their sins led to the refusal to believe in Christ, ultimately putting him to death. Sin causes spiritual blindness. You know, as a culture, we hardly admit it, we hardly acknowledge it, but we are spiritually blind. A couple of years ago, maybe 10 years ago, there was a minister who gave an opening prayer at a Kansas State legislature, and they were outraged. They said, he's sanctimonious, he can't talk to us that way. Well, the pastor said, woe to those who call evil good. That's exactly what we've done. We've worshiped other gods in the name of multiculturalism. We've neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We've polluted the culture with pornography and called it freedom of expression. We've endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyles. He called it out. He named it. And we kind of back away. We don't want to be noticed. We don't want to be the only one sticking out. And so we kind of are quiet about it. But those are evils. Those are sins. Those are lies. And to accept them is to begin to accept other lies. Spiritual blindness flows from accepting sin, not just in our own life, but publicly accepting sin in the lives of others. And it gives a tacit approval to their lifestyles. And as soon as we approve of sin in any form, we begin to lose our spiritual sight. So this question about blindness, it really does apply to us. We could go much further today than that minister did. We not only kill the unborn to defend a promiscuous lifestyle, now nearly half the abortions are Plan B. Pope Benedict reminded us, there are no small murders. That's what it is. That's what abortion is, and it's to defend a lifestyle. Think of all the recreational drugs. All of this wipes out the drive and the initiative and the ambition of our young people especially. It makes them placated with mediocre lives. Lives that are going nowhere. It keeps them from resisting the tyranny which is coming down upon us from above. There's a reason we're given all of these things. We change the language of things, like, for instance, prostitutes are now called sex workers as we begin to legitimize the practice. We have the misuse of the welfare system so that it becomes an entitlement and ultimately a bondage, a multi-generational bondage. And fatherlessness begets violence. That's not an opinion, it's a fact. We're subsidizing fatherlessness every bit as much as we subsidize Somali fraud. And we're doing that. And nobody's gone to jail for it. So we have to watch out. The secularism comes from this abandonment of a vision for eternal life. Do you realize that as we lose our vision for eternal life, the next step is euthanasia? It's happening around us. It's way legal in Canada. Do you know that last year in Canada, they euthanized 15,000 people? That's stunning. But it's because of the loss of faith, the loss of a spiritual vision, and because of spiritual blindness. It's in our midst right now. Our cultural leaders, who are really leading us away from God, have told us we have many problems, that we must have DEI, but if standards fall and anyone notices it, we're the ones called judgmental or racist for observing obvious facts. Anyone who recognizes that Islam is not and never has been a religion of peace is called Islamophobic. Anybody who challenges the notion that we ought to have a heterosexual worldview is called homophobic or transphobic. All of these things are the lies of our age, and if we embrace them, we become spiritually blind. We actually have to reject the lies that are in our midst. The errors in our midst, whether they're proposed by the best and the brightest, the most high and powerful, we reject lies wherever we find them so that we don't become blind, that we don't lose our spiritual sight. And that's what Jesus is inviting us to do, to be that much on track. So think about these things a little bit. He wants us to have sight, wants us to see the way things are, wants us to embrace Him, the way, the truth, and the life. The root of many of our problems is spiritual blindness. Let's get rid of our own sins in order to recover our sight. We don't want to hear Jesus say, "If you were blind, there would be no sin." But we see you say, "And your sin remains."